Hello and welcome to Bleed Geek episode number 6. I am Mike Earl.
I am Patrick McGivern.
And I'm Randy Orvis.
We will be discussing the tech news of the week and then more or less any other geeky items that may pertain to the last week. If you are interested in listening live, if you aren't right now already, we do our podcast live every Thursday at roughly 8 p.m. Central Standard. Otherwise, you can always check us out on iTunes, and if you happen to go there, you know, give us a good rating. If you go to our website, we have our live stream up there, though if you do want to listen live, which is just bleedgeek.com/live, and you can also sign up for our newsletter there, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. So.
Sweet. Number 6, moving on.
It's going pretty fast.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of the German word for 6.
Zex.
There we go. I was going to say Sieben, but I got to wait next week to say that.
There you go.
Yeah, no, it's been... Seriously, like, we have trivia on Wednesday nights, and then we podcast on Thursdays, and between those two things, it makes my week just fly by. It's awesome.
I feel like my Monday through Wednesdays just merged together to be one long day, and then I got to prepare for this.
Yes. We've got a few things to talk about today.
We still have our contest going on, though, if anyone's interested in that. If you haven't already started, which right now we're only running about 2 people are doing it. Last I checked, was there a third?
I thought there was a third. I'll get on.
But if you want to, we have some Bose headphones we're giving away, earbuds. If you want to try to help us get more people to like our Facebook page, just go there and make a post and have people like your post, because the only way they can like your post is to like our page. And next Thursday, we're closing it July 7th.
Yes.
And the person with the most likes at that point, we will announce it during our podcast. So this will be ending at 7:55 next Thursday.
Yes.
July 7th.
And who's in the lead?
Right now, Josh Nyman is in lead with 7 likes altogether. Really, it's anybody's game, technically, right now, because there's 2, and then the other person has 1. Well, she will have 2 likes once Mike gets off his butt and likes it as well. So.
While we have Josh, we'd just like to congratulate Josh on winning his Go-Kart League Championship last night.
Oh, yeah. It was a close race.
They tied, and then they had to have a 5-lap shootout, and he won by 2 seconds.
Pretty sweet.
Congratulations.
But on to the news, I guess.
Yeah.
Not anything major this week. Lots of little things, I think, more or less.
Yeah. Should we just kick it off with, do we want to do LulzSec?
Sure.
All right. Let's
just shoot the lulz.
So if you're a fan on Facebook or you follow our blog, you will see that a couple days ago I had put up a post. I think it was a couple days ago. Like I said, my days blur together really good. LulzSec, if you haven't heard of them, they are an internet hacking group. They've been around for just about 2 months and
50 days.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Exact. Yeah. And they came out basically swinging out of the gates. Their first one they had posted, I forget what their first one was, but it was fairly big, because let me pull it up quick. I feel like I'm slacking.
They've hacked quite a few things. I mean, little things here and there, but a lot of big things as well.
Yeah, I mean, the first one was there's a TV show called X Factor, and they got a hold of the contestants' database and got all of the users, or all of the contestants who are on the show, all of their addresses, and posted that. The other notable ones that they had got into was they got into bigger type things, but they were never, I mean, the Americanized version. So they got into fox.com/sales. They got into their database, and there were a bunch of clear text usernames and passwords. Sonymusic.co.jp. So it's the Japanese version of Sony.
Poor Sony.
They defaced pbs.org. If anybody saw, it was just before Tupac's birthday. I don't remember if it was on or the day before, but they had posted that he was alive with Biggie living in Australia.
On PBS.
Right.
Right.
Which is amusing. So it was funny because I didn't know that it was fake. I just saw it and was like, no freaking way.
I was like, I knew it.
Seriously, you know.
There's so many rumors that he is anyway. So.
Exactly. And so I was like, oh, man. And then Lil Sec came and posted on their Twitter. They're like, oh, check out what we just did. And I was like, oh, that's kind of depressing. Yeah, Senate.gov. And then their last big one before they quit the game was a project called Chinga La Migra, which was against the Arizona Border Patrol, and they got a bunch of information from them, user IDs, social security numbers, emails between people that are racist oriented, and their whole project was called Pound Anti-Sec, which is, I mean, it's just anti-sec, really.
Well, it seemed like they started anti-sec toward the end of their spiel. I mean, they kind of always have that attitude, but they legitimately waged war, as they called it. It was probably 2 weeks, if not less, before they called it quits.
Yeah, and it's a story that's really kind of bounced around, because they've never been really a set. They've never had a set goal. It's like, and the their people that they've attacked or went after have no real common ground. I mean, it just seemed like they were kind of bouncing around and whoever they could find.
At one point, they were actually taking requests. Who did you want to see get, you know, hacked? And they would go for it.
So they've released all sorts of this information. They started this anti-sec campaign that was sort of waging war against corporations, businesses,
and government, I think, was the main client.
And it was enemy. I don't know if it was to prove like that information security is very relaxed, or
very,
people
very
just
lulls.
People aren't taking it seriously. Yeah, lulls.
Right,
hence the name. You know, so it was interesting, but as soon as they started, they quit. They were an active, quoting in the air, active hacker group for 50 days, and
it was more or less six guys just kind of like, let's see what we can do, I think.
Right, and it's funny, I wrote, there's an article on bleedgeek.com that I wrote about it, and it was really difficult to write, because I started it one day, and then the next day I went to continue writing, and there was already more stuff written about these guys, and in a good way. And there were lots of these guys made a quick name for themselves publicly via the internet. I mean, I think they really made a statement for the hacker scene in the internet world. But they were, if anybody tried ousting them or releasing their information, they were quick to say, oh yeah, well, this person's trying to show our identities. Well, here's their username, here's their home address, here's their email address, here's their phone number, here's their boyfriend/girlfriend. I mean, just tons of information released. And 2 days after they called it quits, another group came out.
The A-Team.
The A-Team.
As they're calling themselves.
Yes. Came out and said that they have all six members, they have their identities, who their real names are, or their phone numbers. I mean, all sorts of
Their last address or known whereabouts, at least.
And
is this A-Team? Is it ninja filled?
No, I think it's a different correlation group.
With the web ninjas.
I think there's a bunch of different groups that I think Lil Sec got in the media, and everyone else just thought, well, why am I not in the media? Let's just try to take out Lil Sec and then get our name out there as well. Because there was that Poison group as well. There was the web ninjas. There was the A Team, and I think it just kind of kept going. I mean, and then there's Anonymous, but they're who originally. Everyone thought Lil Sec was a couple guys from Anonymous that, you know, parted ways with the group because they had different ideas. And then later they were kind of at each other's necks. And then when they started Anti-Sec, Lil Sec and Anonymous joined forces against these government groups, which even since Lil Sec has quit, Anonymous has released even more stuff from the Arizona State Troopers or whatever, the Border Patrol.
Border Patrol.
And they've, I mean, a few other things that weren't quite as big, but...
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it's been interesting following it, because Lil Sec has been quick to point out if anybody said anything incorrectly about them, they were always on their Twitter instantly saying, you know, you guys are just a joke, you've got your information wrong, and when the A-Team posted all of their information, nothing has been said from Lil Sec.
And it's pretty convenient that they quit, retired at the same time.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
it kind of makes you wonder if they were... incredibly accurate.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, we'd mentioned that they were kind of jumping around with their targets, and a lot of the bigger underground hackers have said that it's been basically nothing but, you know, teenagers using Google-based hacking tools, Google-found hacking tools, you know, very publicly known, and basically just trying to find... whatever they can find on the internet that's open and exploit it. And then once they started getting a semi-common theme to it, that's when they started Anti-Sec. But a lot of people have said, you know, there's, if you told them to go after, you know, say Microsoft for whatever reason, you know, they would have no chance. You know, it's just a bunch of little script kiddies toying around.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the feeling I got, is that they were just seeing what information they could collect, and then if they could deface them or, you know, bring, you know, disclose information that could be harmful in some way, they would take advantage of that. But yeah, I mean, I think there was an assumption that they weren't really true hackers. They were more just like kiddies with SQL injection tools and DDoS attacks, and I don't know, just pretty, I guess, generic stuff, considering anything else in the hacking world.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's...
I mean, nothing like the whole Lockheed Martin RSA, like the RSA
attack. Nothing that elite.
It was funny, too, is when they were taking requests, as they said, via Twitter, they said, if one more person asks us to take Facebook, we're going to start giving out your information. Because it's like, everyone was like, go for Facebook. And so they said, you know, if you ask us for Facebook, we're just going to release everything we can find on you. So I found that amusing. In a interesting sort of related news, that last Thursday, which I don't know what the date was, but I guess the FBI raided an iWoman's home looking for a supposed Lil Sec member, actually, just because they thought she had relation to one of them or...
she
was involved.
Yeah, I read a couple articles, and all of them kind of said something different about her. And the last one I read said that she was an active chat room member,
right?
In one of their more secret chat rooms. But they confiscated a PC, a couple external hard drives, and I want to say there was something else. But
camera.
It says they talked to her for about 5 hours, and then took her. A couple of her hard drives, her camera, and other computer equipment is what it says here.
Yeah. So it's like...
and also, like, asking if she can infiltrate Anonymous and...
yeah. I'm sure that
but
was...
But it seemed more like she was kind of more disbanded, and, like, no one really...
just lone wolf.
Yeah.
Single wolf pack.
I think she was caught, like, leaking log file information or chat log information.
Is that... that's the one that was leaking the chat room info?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she'd gotten called out by... Lil Sec. Was that the one, I guess, that got called out by Lil Sec for leaking the logs? I know there was one person that got caught for leaking server logs that was giving IP addresses of the LulzSec members. But I'm not sure.
I just know there was, because I heard there was another, because I know it was another one that wasn't an Iowa. There was another woman, so I think there's been two.
Yeah, they were all over the place, though. All of the members. I mean, it was like Russia and Ukraine, and so,
right.
It was cool though. It was, yeah. Like I actually.
I was gonna say correction. It was actually LulzSec hacking that had grudge against her for leaking logs from a secret chat room. Which they planned to hack HB Gary hack back in, it was like February or something like that earlier this year. And this is like why the FBI was showing up at her door, because they're investigating that hack that went on during that time.
But yeah, but there's been a ton of hacker news and it's just been all over. And
it's, yeah, like I said, it was tough to keep up while I was writing the article, because when I started writing it, it was when LulzSec decided to call it quits, and then all of this information started developing. Yeah. And it was like, come on, how am I supposed to keep on writing this stuff?
More and more kept coming out about them. And
yeah, if you read, I've got some good links in the blog that blog post I had posted just about LulzSec. But my sign off thing in the post was, you know, whether you're against hackers or for hackers, in my opinion, it's as bad as it is, and them leaking all of this information, I think it's a real eye opener to a lot of the big businesses out there to realize that people aren't going to stand up for their information being very loosely handled in their corporations. You know, they need. I think a lot of people, when you get into a big company, they just, you know, we've got, like my company, we've got millions of people's personal information, home address, birthdays, social security numbers, and you really have to think, treat it as it's yours. You know, how secure would you want your personal information? And I think a lot of people lose sight of that kind of thought.
And I think this was kind of an ill-thought way of setting a precedence where, yeah, companies should start taking responsibility of the information that they collect. And also, you know, even the, like, the 65,000 emails and passwords that they released out, just showing that even people aren't even practicing, like, putting cryptic passwords together. I mean, a lot of it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
there was a release just recently about the top 10 iPhone locks, and the top one was 0000. Second one being 1, 2, 3, 4, and then down the main row was number 3. And they were, like, out of the top 10, there was only 2 that were even remotely random, but one of them, it turned out, spelled love, and the other one was something ridiculous. I mean,
yeah, it's funny. I don't know, because I know a bunch of the passwords that LulzSec had released, they had also put a post up. So it was something, it gave percentages of people who have password as their password, or, you know, password 1, you know, stuff like that. And it's like, I'm pretty good with my accounts. I've tried to keep all of my passwords separate. There's a couple accounts that I have same password for, but it's like, I don't want, if somebody gets my password, at least I know that they won't be getting into, you know, if they get my Facebook, they aren't getting into my bank. If they get my bank, they're not getting into my credit card.
And that's definitely the suggested method, I think. Don't use it. I mean, and the people, the hackers, LulzSec and Anonymous, both were blatantly calling people out, calling them idiots for using the same password everywhere.
Yep.
And then wondering why your information is getting stolen. I mean, especially because they released, like, those 62,000 emails we talked about, or the email addresses in random. We talked about that, I think, last week even. About how they released just emails and passwords, and you had to figure out where they went. Well, the people that use the same password for everything were getting triple, quadruple burned, because you could go to PayPal and it would be their password for that. You could go to Facebook and it's their password for that. You could go to Twitter and get into their stuff. I mean, it's just, use different passwords. Is the main thing to take away from that.
Yes, that would be a general information security tip. Different passwords and complex.
And don't write it on a post-it near your machine.
don't use spouse's name. Don't use any significant dates. As numbers. Don't use password. Don't use admin. Don't use pets' names. You know, try to keep it fairly unique
and random. And also, I guess, hacker news. I guess our favorite hacker, GeoHots, is took a position at Facebook, of all places. He got a job there. I don't know if you guys had heard that at all.
But yeah, I read that yesterday.
Really not sure he does as of right now.
They haven't really released. A lot of people thought it was rumored that he was working on the supposed iPad app that's supposedly coming out, but then they thought, oh, maybe he's working on Project Spartan, which would be the opposite of that. In a way, the same thing. But now it's also rumored that they're not actually going to make an iPad app. They're making it for webOS. But that just seems silly. Mm. They'd go there first. But Facebook doesn't always seem to follow a very logical path, we'll say.
Yeah. I don't know about webOS, I guess. I have to dig in a little bit and see. I don't know. I'm not warming up to any of the... iCloud weather, whatever, not weather, iCloud, I don't know, any of the cloud OSs right now are not appealing to me, so, I don't know.
No?
No, not really.
I've been using, I forgot my iPod yesterday, so I'm kind of bummed, because I'm still a faithful iPodder,
He loves the iOS.
And I've been playing, I've been uploading my music. I said I was going to stop. I lied. I continued, and I've got almost all my music on there. I listened to it all day yesterday, and at first I was kind of like, but I'm really liking it. I listened to it all day again today.
Actually, the cloud. I should restate what I mean. But the cloud the cloud like music service. I really like that because this past weekend, I took my roommate's phone. And I hooked up my Gmail account to his Android-based phone, and then I downloaded the music app from the Android market, and it was awesome. Like having all that music on your phone, and it doesn't take up any space. I mean, other than whatever it needs for like index files and whatnot, or if you want to pin stuff for offline use. But no, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like the Android phone right now is becoming more appealing with music beta, and then also. Plus, which we're going to talk about later, or not
Google Plus.
Google Plus, sorry.
But and by later.
But yeah, no, just an operating system that's fully cloud based. I don't know. I kind of like my full versions.
Are you referring to Chrome?
The Chromebook. Chromebook. Yeah, the Chromebook. Yes, yeah, so the Chrome OS, the Web OS, all those. Just not the time right now. Is the way I feel. You can't get internet everywhere is my biggest point. And I want to use my laptop everywhere I can.
Plus, it's just like they take so much away and the price is less. But I mean, you could buy a fully integrated laptop for nearly the same price right now.
Right.
With the way they're dropping. And I mean.
Yeah, I don't think the biggest hurdle is the operating system anymore. I think the biggest hurdle is getting internet. Cheap hardware.
Oh, right.
In a laptop. I think that is really where all the money is now being spent because, I mean, Microsoft is. They're not necessarily handing over Windows 7 for free, but it's becoming, you know, not as much as the overall cost. It's not being a big contributor to the overall cost. But on to that.
But while we're talking about Google, I mean, we might as well go into it. Google this week, was it Tuesday? Monday or Tuesday released. Tuesday. They announced their Google Plus service.
Woo!
The next generation revision.
I would just say another
Google. Well, I mean, it's that they're calling it, you know, the next generation of Google.
It's an extension of Google.
An extension.
Hence the plus.
I'll let you talk. I've got lots of opinions on it.
I mean,
I'm excited.
Google Plus is, I guess, more or less their attempt at the social network again. I mean, it's kind of more than that. It's an interesting thing to have. I mean, it's interesting. It is a social network. You will be allowed to add your friends into circles, is what they're calling it, circles. And then you can make groups of people, essentially, is what you're going to be doing by dragging and dropping, which they seem to claim. And I've looked at it. I mean, it looks pretty smooth and easy.
Yeah, it
I actually played with the demo. They have a demo that you can just do.
An interactive
exactly. It's an interactive tour of where you can just practice, like, drag and dropping, just mock people into circles. And it's, I don't know, it was kind of entertaining. And it was fun. It was easy.
It's very easy. I mean, it's just drop and drag. I mean, yeah. it's just that.
The Facebook counterpart is creating groups. And before their last revision that they did, which was almost a year ago, I think, it was fairly easy to create your groups, add people, remove people from groups. But now after their revision, I find it difficult. It's easy when you add a new person to your contact list because you can click, you know, it's a little checkbox.
Add them to this group.
Yeah. But the way Google has set it up to create your individual groups and is very slick. And the one nice thing I saw was, how easy it is to put people into multiple groups also. So if you have, you know, like, you guys would be in my podcast group and Pat would be in, like, my gaming group.
The only issue that I ran into in the interactive tour was that people could only be in one circle. And I thought that was kind of shitty. But I don't know if that'll be true to form in the actual circles, because I think that would suck, because there's people I would like to put in multiple groups.
Yeah, no, there was an article, I'll see if I can find it while we're talking, that said that people could be in multiple groups.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing is people can't see your groups, your circles. And so if I have Randy in a group called Podcasters, he wouldn't know what group I'm having. He would just see the things I share with that group as being shared with him. He wouldn't see who else is in the group. He can't see any of my other... Well, you can see people's friends, I think. But I don't think you can... And there's been some contradiction that I've read about the amount of privacy and sharing of what people can see and what people can't see right now. Mm-hmm. But it's not a full-on release yet anyway, so that's to be expected. It's beta. Everything's beta with Google. it'll be interesting to see how it comes down. Okay, so we've gone through circles, and then there's also...
How about their...
You have the huddle.
Huddling, which is their group texting, which is a mobile version. I don't know if it's web as well.
I would assume it would be web also.
I would think so.
But yeah, I think it's more geared towards the mobile version, because when you're setting up, like, time to meet people or dates or whatever to go get lunch...
That's the big thing that
allows
kept going.
You to... organize and figure out a place, a time, and then everyone gets the same message and you don't have to keep retexting or texting certain people. It's a group me just integrated into this whole Google Plus,
which makes huddling.
It makes huddling. More sense because it's
it does know,
having one thing to do multiple things a lot nicer.
And it's funny because in iOS, they added group messaging into their iMessage thing as well. So, I mean, both Google and, you know, Apple are on the same page with that. They realize that, you know, people are using all these third-party clients. Why don't we have our own?
Right. And I think this is almost a step ahead of what Apple has, because Apple's not into Apple's not like Google, really. I mean, they're doing the same thing, and Google is competing with Apple in the phone market, but Google is a much larger, they're just a behemoth.
They're also competing with themselves in several places.
Well, they're competing with tons of other companies, and they're trying to integrate all of this stuff into one handy application. And I think getting the social aspect built in with a like a social media thing like their Google Plus, including the group messaging. I mean, getting all of this into one thing is just going to make it easier for people.
Right. I agree that it'll definitely be good to have it all in, I mean, one centralized location. Because I feel like Google in itself is very... has arms everywhere, but not necessarily attached to the same place.
Right. Yeah, well, and that's one of the things, I mean, kind of going with that is, with their many arms, the one thing that I really liked is the fact that it's integrated. Everything is tied back to a single account. So I've got my Google Calendar, which I can share with my friends, because they'll be on Google Plus. The mail, you'll have access to all of your mail, you'll have access to, I'm assuming, I didn't see, is GChat built in?
I actually didn't see anything having to do with GChat at all. They have their, well, that one of their other features then is Hangout, which is like a video chatting. And it's like, you know, you can just be hanging out on Google, which is another thing they're trying to do, is just get people to hang out on Google, not just go there, look for information and leave. They want people to hang out there. And that's why I think they called it Hangout. I mean, it's just a video conferencing thing, but very loosely, like anybody can join, any of your friends in that circle, I believe, they would have to be in a certain circle, or you'd post it in a certain circle, or any one of your friends maybe can join, but... And you can watch things together and listen to things together. Like, you can watch a YouTube video, all of you. And, you know, you'll see everyone's reactions.
Yeah, the screen sharing kind of function.
And I believe, like, the way they showed it, there was one bigger screen and then a bunch of little screens. But the way that it was you don't choose what screen is the bigger one. It somehow detects who's talking. And the person talking at that time has the larger screen. And then it alters as people talk.
Which I think is big, because if you're the person talking, you want the point, you want everyone's attention,
and it makes it easier for everybody to find you,
right? And you're not gonna be like, who's really talking, and then like someone waves their hand like in front of their like webcam,
right?
It really puts focus on
I can see speaking. Issues with that as well, but I mean, it'll be hard to, I think, like, if multiple people start talking at the same time, it's like, which one will pick? Or if people were, like, I saw the example of singing along to a song, if everybody's singing, like, to, they're watching a video on YouTube and everybody's singing along type of thing, or
maybe it's just one of those things where you just adopt certain etiquette, because it'll just make the focus go crazy, and everyone's just like, okay, obviously I don't need to talk right now. But
so I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I think it's a very cool idea.
I think it's a big step in the whole video, kind of the video chat area, where Skype you can video chat with one person, and then, but if you want to pay for their service, for their premium service, you can have like up to is like a three-way chat on Skype.
Yeah, I'm not
and
sure.
This allows you to do up to 10,
right? Which I think is funny, because Microsoft just bought Skype for how much, and Google's like, well, whatever, we'll just make our own.
Pretty much.
Here it is. That's what they already do. Done. Well, in beta,
but.
Yeah, but I mean, it definitely, the Hangout, I mean, and a lot of people that have reviewed it so far have been like, I'm definitely going to use this all the time. I'm going to hang out here. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, people are going to use it. It looked pretty good. I mean, the things I saw with it. So we'll see what happens with that. So we did Huddle.
And I think the last thing on the list is, well, there's the photo sharing. You can instant share from your Android phone when you have Google Plus. You have the Google Plus app.
The instant upload.
Is it the instant upload?
Yep. I think, so I don't know if video, I'm not 100% sure on the video. It's funny, because in the picture they were showing, in the videos, because they have a YouTube video for each one. Of course, it's on YouTube.
Sure, right.
That only makes sense. But in the video they showed video, but then they were taking pictures during the video, so it was kind of misleading at one point.
I want to say I read an article where it's both video and
it's a convenient place pictures. and I think their big push with this is, you don't want to share pictures with everyone. Sometimes you have pictures of your kids you want to share with your family. Yep. You have pictures of yourself at a party, you want to share those with your college friends, not your coworkers. And it's just things like that, and that's their big push. Whereas Facebook, you don't necessarily, it's not as easy to have. I mean, you can set privacy settings on Facebook, but they are buried within the settings, and they are hard to find, and it's a mess. And Google is pushing how easy this circles thing is, and that's what they're doing with this. I mean, you share pictures with a circle. So you have your college friends or your family to show your kids pictures too, or, you know, just whatever. I mean,
and that's kind of like where it got like a tipping point with me with Facebook, is that the news feed turned into anyone's like soapbox or anyone's like landing page. It was like, you get everything, like every friend that you've accepted, it's basically them just shouting at you, you know, whatever's on their mind. They're sharing you whatever picture that they want, and it's typically the friends that, like, for me, like in my experience with Facebook, it was the people that I've never really spoken to. It was like the person that found you on Facebook, he accepted it, and then you're wondering, why did I do this? And then you end up like, you know, trying to hide them. But no, I mean, I think that's the big improvement with Google Plus, is the whole circles thing, where you can kind of segregate the different feeds between, you know, groups. And if you really want to see what's going on in the coworker circle that you got that people want to share with coworkers, then it's really just dedicated to that one circle.
Right. The one other thing that we didn't touch on is Google's their Sparks. Just hit that real quick, because it's the little more ambiguous one of all of them, I think. It's kind of like you, Google, let's say we're into tech news, I guess. We'll just throw that out there. So if I search tech news, I can add that as an interest, and it's kind of something you can go back to and share with people that also, I mean, like I would share with people that are also into tech news, I guess.
I got
Sparks was the kind of the weirdest one out of all of them that I thought personally anyway.
I guess I wasn't fairly confident that I understood what it really was happening, but I did. It seemed like it was like the interest groups, but then it's also going to use Google's algorithm to search things based on that interest group.
Yeah, it's kind of I saw, like, let's say you're really into canoeing, just as an odd example, I guess, and you search canoeing and you see, like, well, this is what's going on, and when you add it to your interest, I guess when you kind of hit. It'll show your interests on the side of your Google Plus feed, and you can kind of go back to it and see what's changed, I guess. But I don't know if it's still a Google search that you're looking at, because the top things are going to stay on the I mean...
And someone else also called it, like, just being, like, a kind of a glorified, like, RSS feed
type thing, too. Right, yeah. So, I mean, that's the, I think, still the most confusing one to me. I mean, all the other ones are pretty straightforward, but the Sparks one is a little...
I'm bummed I don't remember what the name of the thing I used a couple days ago on Google. Like, it just popped up quick with, like, an invite, sort of. It was like, oh, try out this new feature. And it was, it's like, what do you like? I don't think it was Sparks. It's like, what do you like? And so I was like, oh, well, I would like to find some information on my car, my Coronet. So I typed in 1966 Coronet. And it had... all sorts of things, like it was like all of Google's, I want to say, like, features on one page. So it had, like, a web search, it had shopping search, it had image search, it had blog posts, it had, I mean, it was just a page full of little widgets, and they even, I mean, even brought, like, a little 3D model that somebody had made of a 66 Coronet, but it was really interesting, and I'm trying to find out what it was, but I just, for the life of me, can't. It was just one of those random things. I was like, oh, okay, I'll try you out, Google.
Stuff. It is weird, because, like, randomly, like, I don't like the black box that everyone, I'm sure, at this point has noticed on the top of Google, like, that's their starting point to Google Plus, like, it'll be based there. But it's funny, it's like, it's just Google randomly will, like, it doesn't really change, but every now and then there'll be something a little off, and you'll notice, and you'll be like, what's that? Or, like, in Gmail, randomly, you'll see a new feature. They'll be like, hey, do you want to try this out real quick? And then one day it might just be gone. I mean, they just like to play with you, it seems.
You ever looked at Google Labs, Mike?
Yep.
They're playing with people there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Google.
Yeah, I'm looking and for it right now.
Not to leave out one other thing, there's the plus one button.
Well, I mean, that's kind of...
Not much to talk about there.
They said that was their start into Google Plus, but that's kind of been around for a little while. I think they launched it 2 months ago or something. Semi-launched it. But that's just trying to put the human aspect into their search algorithms, I think. Yeah. Like, when you search for something and you like the result, you're supposed to plus one it, and then it'll show people, but it has to be people that you're friends with via Google, I think, to be able to see it, is what I believe. Is that correct? Do you know?
Anybody? I'm assuming so, because they're kind of pitting it against the Google, the Facebook like button,
right.
So,
yeah,
that makes sense.
I don't know. I mean, there's one post in here from Vern saying he doesn't like the plus one button, and I don't know if I like it either, just based on the little demos I've seen. It just seems kind of...
I don't like the way it looks.
And I think that's the biggest part of it. It seems like it's a really... almost like a forced, like, oh, crap, we need to put something here quick. I mean, and the plus one came out before they announced Google Plus anyways, but still.
The thing about... it's like, did I hit that? Because it stays lit up. Even if you scroll over it, like the last one you scrolled over stays lit up. And you're like, did I hit that? I don't remember hitting that. But then if you go to another one, because they're kind of like faded boxes, and then as you scroll over it, it lights up like, hey, click me.
Pretty much.
And you're like, I don't know what you're doing. Why are you doing that? And so you kind of, but then it stays there, and you're like, I didn't hit it. So, but I think that's them trying to find a way to make their search better, because you're supposed to plus one things when you get proper search, like you get good search results from when you search something, and then you can you know, it's them trying to be a little more human in their searches, I guess, and not strictly algorithm based. All in all, though, I really like the Google One project as a whole. I think it's like, I think it'll be, for me, I think it'll be a lot better than Facebook. I think Google's going to have an issue. I mean, I don't think it'll shut down. Like, I think it'll stay around, but I don't think it'll take off to the lengths that they would love it to.
I mean, I think it comes at a good time as Facebook. I mean, I don't know necessarily Facebook is losing users. There was a report saying that they...
Six million.
Is it 6 million now? Mm-hmm. 6 million users that they lost?
In the U.S.
In the U.S. So maybe people are getting tired of Facebook, want something new, something that's a little bit cleaner.
I mean,
I don't know. It was funny following Twitter today because for a lot of the people that are big in the tech industry, a lot of people were treating it as just a big joke, basically. Like saying, oh, I tried it out, and basically all of its lust is gone. Back to Facebook.
Well, and I think the biggest problem will be getting people to jump ship from Facebook. Everybody's built into Facebook already. They have their network set up there. They're already very integrated into Facebook. They're already dedicated to checking Facebook.
It's a comfort zone thing.
And it's totally what everybody knows already. And I think some people try it out, but not enough people to make it work the way it should work. I think if everyone just... And you don't even have to leave Facebook, but just did both. Not that you need both, but if you did, because people don't want to leave Facebook because that's what they know. I mean, the fact that Facebook has been there for so many years already, too, is another big part of it. I mean, I saw a way to integrate your Facebook contacts into Google+. I saw that as a thing.
About that.
I mean, so they're obviously, they know that you need that structure. The people you already have in your social network, you want to bring with you to this Google+. But I don't think enough people will stay there to make it effective. Like, I think I will use it. And I think I also think its aim will end up being a much older, not older, but a more mature audience. Whereas Facebook, I think the generation growing up with Facebook won't leave for Google.
It'll be how I compared last week the PC gaming world to the Xbox gaming world. Where PCs are kind of the mature, this is what they want to do, and not deal with the little idiots of the world.
My other thoughts were that Google Plus will be a lot more like Twitter. Like, people will augment Facebook with Twitter, but they won't fully leave Facebook. And I think Google Plus will be like Facebook. Like, with Twitter, it's more for sharing, I feel like. For sharing quick links, sharing photos, maybe. Just random little facts, as opposed to where Facebook, you throw everything. Maybe that's just me. I don't
know. Mike, you know I want to leave Facebook.
Well, it's funny. It's because when
I'm drunken stupor, I'm going to just text you and be like, I'm doing it, Mike. I'm deleting Facebook.
It's funny because the first thing I thought of when I saw Google Plus was Pat can finally leave Facebook.
Yeah.
Because he's made it very clear his feelings to me.
There's a home in beta that they're not accepting anyone anymore. And
yeah, I tried to get on a list to get in because people were like, oh, if you want to get in, these people are handing it out. Sign up here. But because so many people were doing that, Google actually shut it down last night. They shut down the invites because I think they wanted a small rollout, but they opened it to invitations. But once you had an invitation, you could invite anyone you wanted, and it was unlimited. So then they started capping it, and then they turned it off altogether because I think it just got out of hand. But
yeah. And I was unlucky to get an invitation, but I am on their newsletter. So when they go public, I will be one of the millions to know.
Hopefully before that. They were also, I saw today, selling Google Plus invites on eBay I saw them going for up to $75.
That's amazing.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
It's funny.
Makes sense. If you have to review it and you're a tech pundit and you want to be a part of Google Plus.
Or you just love Google that much.
Or you really love
Google. Yeah, I love Google, but not that much.
I saw a lot of good reviews of the Google Plus app. I believe it's already available, but I don't know if you have to have a Google Plus service to be able to use the app, but
I would assume so to take advantage.
And I know they said that there will be an iOS app coming out very soon as well, like within the next week or so, I think they said. I'm sure it's just going through approval. Steve's got to check it out, so
that's what he does.
But
gotta hit him on his happy days.
Overall, I think it'll be a fun project, but I don't think it will. I think it'll be a lot like Twitter. Like, I think the tech world uses Twitter. And I think I think Twitter's harder to follow.
Well, especially if you,
Depending on the amount of people, I guess.
Twitter wasn't meant, I think it was meant to keep up with your friends very quickly, but it has not become that anymore. It has been more, to me, the way I use Twitter is as a live news RSS, basically,
right.
to keep up to date quickly with what's going on. That's the only reason why I use Twitter really anymore.
Yeah, same for me. Like, I follow Twitter. I follow more than I probably should because it's hard to keep up some days. But
and that's where like that's that my impression of Twitter is exactly that, where it is news, and it's kind of turned into like the old CB scanner, where mm-hmm. you could get
the police radio,
could just get, you know, whoever's on a CB or like first responders communicating that they're going to a fire or going to an ambulance. But I mean, it's kind of more everyone's adopted it, and it can be this, I don't know, this serial line, you know, this linear line of nothing but news coming at you.
The funny thing about being a CB radio is, in an interview with Jack Dorsey, the creator of Twitter, he got the idea from watching intersections. Like he likes maps a lot. And he's always like, I wonder what that person's doing. I wonder where they're going. Like, where are all these people? Like, all their lives are crossing right here. What are they, like, that type of thing. The interview is from Foundation, so that can be our Kevin Rose plug for this week. If you just throwing it out there, you should watch Foundation. If you watch podcasts a lot, it's good. But that's where he got the idea. Was he's really into maps. He liked dispatching type stuff, like that kind of work.
Right.
And that's where the idea came from.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's a very good analogy. I think this, you know, it's like just listening to it's really just kind of a lot of noise after a while. It's just trying to filter through it. And that's all I do all day at work is watch my Twitter. But I like it.
Somebody's gotta follow all those people and listen to them ramble.
Just take information in.
That's exactly right.
But yeah.
Go Google.
Right.
And when I get an invite, I will be there in my huddle. Also hanging out and then sparking.
Even if you're huddling by yourself.
And then I'll be adding sparks.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. I don't like the black bar, personally. I liked the clean white page.
I was going to say, the person that likes black t-shirts
doesn't like it. I mean, if the whole page was black, I'd be down, but it seems so off to be it. For Google, it's always been such a clean place.
Hey, how about you create an iGoogle, then you can customize it.
Maybe I will. All right. I hate you.
Everybody who's somebody has
trying to help you, Mike.
iGoogle.
That's right. Actually, another quick note about Google, they also launched a mobile. They've always had, is it websites that you can make via Google, but now they've got a mobile client for it.
Do not know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Anyway, if you have an idea, you'll already know anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So anyways, to finish, I mean, to wrap up on Google Plus, if anyone has experience with Google Plus or any thoughts, you can email us at fans@bleedgeek.com.
I love that it's always a question. He's like, I'm not quite certain. Is that our email?
I wait for the mic approval. When I say fans and then he nods and looks away. Yeah. I'm on the right track.
FYI, Google Plus is available in the Android market.
Right now?
For all phones.
All phones?
If it's available for my phone, I'm going to be safe and assuming...
He's calling it out right now. All phones.
You're saying most phones, yeah.
No, if it's available for mine, it's in the market. You can get it. So. I'm downloading it right now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've heard a lot of good... I mean, it's been praised as actually being a very good app and integrating everything very well. So, we'll see what happens. Like, yeah, that's that.
Yep.
Let's move on.
10-4.
All right, are we...
I think that was our main big news items. Should we move on to the Geek Report?
All right.
Let's do it.
We need to get like a little...
I know, a sound
Geek Report.
I thought that.
Geek Report.
Maybe one
of... On to the Geek Report.
There you go. That's a good one.
So, in the news this week, do you want me to start? I've got quite a few, so. MasterCard. I'll start off with that one. MasterCard announced that they they were hacked, and I'm trying to pull up my information. There we go. Okay. Oh, man. MasterCard. Where art thou? Okay. Yeah, taken down by hackers, MasterCard.com. It happened on Tuesday. They said that the reason behind it was retaliation for blocking payments to WikiLeaks last year. WikiLeaks had posted up a donate button where you could donate to help keep Ian, was it? Is it Ian the name of the founder of WikiLeaks?
Julian
Assange. Close.
Yeah, yes. To help him keep out of jail.
Do you even like that name, Julian? So,
another big rumor, Apple will be, this is total rumor, but Apple will be releasing two different phones in September, it's claimed. The Deutsche Bank analyst, he's always posted, from what I've read, he's posted a lot of rumors about Apple, and he's also been fairly correct. His name is Chris Whitmore. He's telling people to expect an iPhone 5 and an iPhone 4S in September. He says with Nokia, Mike is giving me funky looks because I'm making stuff up.
No, you're good. I just had other things to add when you're done.
Okay. Yeah, he said with Nokia and RIM struggling, he assumes that this would be the best time for Apple to be aggressive in the mid-range smartphone market, because what better way to do it when you can kick your enemies when they're down?
RIM's dying. They're just dying. Quick note on that. I read also that I saw a rumor that said that iOS 5 will be... I mean, there's been a lot of rumors that there will be an iPhone 5 in September. And they're thinking that it's not going to be so much of an iPhone 4S like as the 3G was. So the 3GS, where it was just a small bump in hardware, basically a faster processor and a few new features. They think it'll be more like an iPhone Lite, where it'll be a smaller version in that mid-range market, like you said. Also, I saw that there was a report that Android, since the iPhone release on Verizon, it was steadily increasing up until that point, but it's leveled off the last quarter and a half, and that iPhone has actually risen like 10%, or the you know, in the mobile market. I think there will be at least the iPhone 5, and I would not doubt the iPhone Lite as well to be released this fall. So we'll see. I think it will be released with the new iOS though when they release it, which I also saw someone release the dates being as September 7th, but they also said Lion will be released on July 14th. So if the first one's right, I think it'd be pretty good odds that the second one's right, since they were on an internal document supposedly. But then today I saw new rumors that Lion will be released on July 6th was the new date I saw run around today. So I hope it's sooner than further because I want it. But
yeah, I posted a picture in chat if you're listening to us live of the what is thought to be the new iPhone 5 design. I had read it today on multiple sites. That
picture's gone. So
the picture's gone.
Kind of a liar.
Oh, 404. Frick. All right, well, I'll find another picture. But neither here nor there.
Vern put one up. Forgot to ping.
Oh.
Oh, I saw one like that, too.
Oh, that's... I don't know why my link didn't work.
You forgot something, he said.
Oh.
But, sweet. Yeah, anyway, yeah, it's there now.
It's for those of you just listening and aren't on our chat, well, who will be downloading our podcast, I should say. So the iPhones all had rounded edges, and this one is more squared off edges. It kind of reminds me of the iPod Nano.
That's what I was just thinking as I was looking at it, too, is it looks a lot like a Nano.
Yeah, because
It's flat on top and the bottom. It looks rounded on the sides, but I mean, there's been other releases of what the phone will look like. Yeah. So I mean, it's all going to be speculation. It's only going to get worse and worse until September. So
pretty much,
I just hope that it has NFC.
Let's all hope.
Also, it. Oh, do you have more to add about Apple?
Oh no, I was.
I just want to switch gears quick into going from Apple to Android. Android apps now total. Android app downloads total now 4.5 billion. When they first started, it was a year ago, like when they released this information, it was a year ago that their total was only 1 billion downloads, and that first billion took 2 years to get to, but the last billion downloads that they achieved were in 60 days. So it's very impressive. And going along with that also, Google has announced that Android is activating 500,000 devices daily.
Which seems crazy, but it would make sense then that they're getting so many app downloads because there's so many devices.
Exactly.
I think a big part of the device activation is that people are constantly upgrading to new Androids because there's so many released. I mean, the market is, I think, flooded with new Android phones constantly. I mean, which is only good because they're only getting better.
Right.
But I just feel like it actually, Josh just got a new phone again. And he, because he had to upgrade, the phone came out and he's like, well, he got the HTC Sensation. And it's, I mean, you just have to keep upgrading them. I mean, you don't have to, but I think if iPhones came out that rapid, people would be getting more of them as well. But then again,
I don't know. I mean, I think it's both that people want to get the newest thing out there, but it's also that a lot of Google phones are at. I mean, now the iPhone, you can get the, is it the 3GS you can still get for $59? Do they still have that
$49? Yep.
So I mean, that's an awesome price point, obviously. But with a lot of the Google phones or Android phones, I should say, is the price point is there. You can easily get any phone for under $100.
Yeah, there's,
and the hardware inside is better than what you would get in the 3GS.
Right.
Like my brother's just one who just joined the smartphone world, and he got a Droid. He got the new. He actually got the new. Crap! What was your old phone you had from T-Mobile?
Sidekick.
Sidekick. He got the new Sidekick.
I've heard good and bad things about those.
I played around with it a little bit. I like it a lot. It's very thin, compact, and like when you, it's similar to mine where it's a slider. Screen kind of angles towards you a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, yeah, they did a good job on it.
I always loved my Sidekicks, but
I still remember. I can hear that stinking click of your screen when you'd flip it out. Just. Yeah, I can still hear that.
It's like, that phone.
Mike's nearby.
I text like crazy on it, but.
What else? Yeah, if you want to, you guys want to go, I'll pull up my last things.
All right, I will just kind of switch gears. I found an article on deep tech on CNET News. Article was posted by a Stephen Shanklin, and he was talking about 60 gigahertz promises wireless docking, USB, and HDMI. So there's a company that's called WeGig, is what I'm guessing is what they're, how you pronounce it, but it's a WIGIG, and they are coming up with a directional wireless type of peer-to-peer connectivity where they can achieve 7 megabits between the two devices, and they're looking at using it for just an array of different things. They kind of had this little picture up where it has instant wireless syncing, so it's this IP-based peer-to-peer applications using WeGig's bus extension and WeGig's serial extension. So it's showing that all your devices, if they were enabled with this type of radio, could sync together with your laptop, your iPod, your phone, your camera. It could even be, you know, something from like your video camera to your DVD player or directly to your TV. And so on. And it's kind of like and since it is directional, it's more of kind of like a directional type feed. It's meant to be in the room. You're not going to be able to use it, you know, in other like, you couldn't have it like your living room and then be in your bedroom and have like a, you know, a 6 or 7 gigabit connection to that device. But it's kind of this idea where You know, you could stream, you know, high-definition movies right to your TV from whatever your device. And they're kind of making a little niche in the market. Something that, I don't know, will necessarily take off or replace, like, USB 3 or anything like that. Or USB Wi-Fi. I forget what the USB 3 wireless type protocol that's going to be out. But, you know, it's showing some positive. I mean, it was interesting. It's showing some, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously the 7 gigabits is pretty...
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Weak.
It is it's weak. So, yeah. Maybe something you won't necessarily see within the next 6 months, but maybe within a year, you might see WeGig kind of pop up, or
WeGig.
Maybe they'll dissolve and be something else. Who knows? Someone will buy it.
On a similar note, sort of, Apple is selling Thunderbolt cords now for
$50. $50.
But they were taken apart by iFixit the day they came out, of course, because
that's what they do.
Right. and they said there's actually a lot going on in there. So.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you see the pictures?
Yeah,
it's insane.
There's a lot.
There's tons of wires, tons of little resistors, tons of chips even on there.
Yeah. They said it almost justifies the $50. Almost.
And was it Samsung that came out with the next...
Sony had the next Light Peak.
It was a Sony laptop, yep.
Yeah.
And it's good to see, I guess, that somebody else is jumping on board with it. Because we had talked about it just amongst ourselves, how, I totally felt like Apple's like, oh, this is another thing you guys definitely need. And it's going to be the only connection on our new laptop. So, I mean, I know it's not going to be, but...
Eventually, probably.
Right, but it's forcing people to upgrade, and I feel like it's just like a little scheme.
So they can sell cords at $50 a pop.
Exactly. Well, and then devices, because it won't be only cords.
But they're not making any of the devices it goes to. They're only putting it on their computer. Well, not yet, I guess.
Right, but I would imagine that they're...
I think it's more...
It's like the oil companies.
I think it's more aimed at hardware or hard drive makers. I think the transfer speeds to an external hard drive... I think it's 10 gigabit a second.
It's a conspiracy. That's what this is.
It's a conspiracy.
Yes.
So on to another conspiracy, I guess. Microsoft released Office 365, which is their cloud version of Microsoft Office. Kind of what Google's been doing all along with Google Docs, in a sense. But I think they're charging $6 a month to use it, which, you know, Google's free. But a lot of people, I think, in the enterprise market will definitely use it more. I mean, it's their cloud push for Windows, I guess, for their documents, I mean.
Yeah, I think they're kind of hoping where people are going to be accustomed with how everything's laid out in Word or Excel.
Right.
Or
it's the standard, PowerPoint. I think, in the business industry. So I think that
$6 is easy to shell out instead of, you know,
$200 per user, though. I mean,
if you're spending already $200-$300 for Office,
right,
per desktop, I mean, $6 is pretty cheap.
Right. In other recent news, Netflix CEO Reed Hastings joined the Facebook board of directors, which is kind of an interesting move, I think. Maybe we'll see some Netflix integration in Facebook in time, or he's on a few other boards I know as well, which is kind of odd, but
yeah, I don't.
He's on the board on Microsoft too, so
I wouldn't expect to see anything big in the next probably even 2 years.
Oh, right, but
you know, but it is an interesting move.
More power for Facebook, I think.
Definitely.
I think it's also them trying to have more maturity when they go IPO, perhaps.
Yep. Yeah. Along with that, not that we have a lot of money to invest in stock, but. Would you invest in Facebook? Will you? I have already decided. I think there's a Charles Schwab right by my building in the Skyway, and I think I might put some money towards it just to make some quick cash because it's only going to go up.
Right. I think that it will be good for a little bit, but I think it will be a bubble that will burst. Yeah. I think it'll be a longer bubble than it'll be a big bubble. I think. I think Facebook's inevitably setting up for a giant downfall when they do fall. But I think it'll be a, for now, I think it'd be a good business investment.
You don't think it's going to be like a Pandora bubble?
I mean, you see Pandora, but Pandora isn't profitable. I mean, that's the difference there. And on a side note, Zynga has also been talking about going IPO within the next, I mean, that's next few days is, I mean, what I've heard recently.
That would be another one that would be.
And they
make money.
And the interesting thing about that is, well, who really makes money? Is it Zynga or Facebook? I mean, they kind of intertwine to make money. So which one of them would you want to invest in? Because without one, you can't hit. Because there's also been talk that Zynga wants to kind of push themselves into more of a mobile market as well. And yeah. I mean, they already have apps, lots of apps. But
yeah,
if you play Words with Friends, you know Zynga.
Their estimated revenue in 2010 was $850 million, and they're estimated at $1.5 billion in 2011.
Zynga?
Yep. So, it'll be interesting. I think the right move for them now, I think, would be trying to turn into a... it makes it easy being integrated with Facebook, but I think it'll be a good thing to, if they could get into the web-only world... Because then it's, you know, kind of the similar lines of an artist not having a record label behind him. You know,
right.
All profit is yours.
Right. But I think that Zynga also would not have the success they have without Facebook. So.
Right. But there's no, at this point, I feel like there's no stopping them now.
Right. I think they, yeah, agreed.
You know, let's see. Bill Lumbers, trying to find, I had read an article last week talking about how many people are playing their games. And when, so I think one of Zynga's latest things is Cityville. And in 43 days, they grew to 100 million users for just Cityville.
That's insane.
Unbelievable. I mean, there's nothing else out there that can compete with that. Also in geek news, unless you have anything else on them?
We're talking
about, about Google,
Mike,
Zynga?
Facebook.
No.
Google.
We're talking about Facebook real quick. Facebook is releasing their first, it's an HTC phone, but it has an integrated Facebook button, which will have Facebook shortcuts to allow people to straight to your status, blah, 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 whatever. It's called the HTC status, as funny as that is. But it has a little button. It looks kind of ugly, but it's got pretty good statistics. It's going to be available on AT&T. I don't know when. I probably should know that, but near future. Let's see. 2.6
quad. What's your next one?
IBM.
Oh, okay. Let me follow suit quick then with the social media. The last big thing I have, exclusive, just happened on, I think it was Monday. Or was it Tuesday?
Tuesday. It's funny because it was the same day as Google Plus was announced.
MySpace is being sold, or has it?
It has been sold
for it. It's funny the number $35 million,
which you think would be a lot. Like, how could they sell it for that much? Who uses MySpace? How could they make any money still?
Well, I think it's funny because I think that's overvalued not right now.
Oh, definitely.
But it's funny because if they would have made this choice, say 2 years ago when their fall was starting, they could have made, I bet you, five times that.
The funny thing to me is that they bought it for $540 million and they sold it for $35 million.
Ouch.
Small loss there.
Yeah. And I heard that one of the investors was the one and only Justin
Timberlake, yeah, and he's getting a lot of bad rap for why would you do that? It's a dying, and everyone thinks that they just tried to put a name on it to make it worth more again, to maybe try to revive it a little. Specific Media, I believe, is who bought it.
Yes.
And what I've heard is that a lot of people think they'll try to. They're generally an ad market company anyway. They're ad based. That's what they do. But they think that they're gonna mine the data out of it. They're going to take... Cause essentially, I think they bought... everyone had MySpace at some point before they had Facebook. The majority of people. And unless you actually went and deleted your account, it's all still there. Your email's...
Mine's gone.
Your, Yours is gone, Pat? Yeah,
hopefully. I mean, I clicked the delete my account link.
Yeah, I don't know. I see, I like to think that MySpace is dead, but at the same time, I use it at weekly, multiple times.
I think it's a huge...
For the band aspect.
I think it's a huge music outlet still.
Yep. Facebook's band integration really sucks still. Agreed. I mean, they've allowed bands to finally upload their own music, but the interface for it is very... You can tell that there is no development time towards that sector.
And MySpace is a lot more customizable pages. Like, yep. You can make your page look like... I mean, Facebook, there's nothing there for customization, really.
Right.
And I think MySpace excelled at that. I think it got a little overbearing at the point when everyone was jumping ship. I mean, you'd go to all these pages, and they would just be flashing images everywhere and just shit jumping out at you, and songs would start instantly, and it would be blaring, and... I think that was a part of the reason that people left, but I think there's something to be said for some level of customization that Facebook doesn't allow people. I mean, but me personally, I like simplicity, so maybe that's why I like Google Plus. Who knows?
All right, are we switching gears? Can I go to my topic here?
Have at it, Pat.
IBM discovers breakthrough for solid-state memory.
Yay!
Does anyone care?
Can we get the applaud?
I do. Where's the applaud? Mike, applause.
I'm working on applause.
Yay! Okay. So what they discovered is, the discovery is that phase change memory, as where flash typically has can be overwritten only about 3,000 to 10,000 times, this new phase change memory, also known as PCM, can endure over 10 million write and erase cycles. On top of that, the read-write performance is said to be up to 100 times that of the daily flash storage. And what this is a big this is big for enterprise use. For those that want to use like solid state drives on a SAN, a typical enterprise use would be able to eat through the 3,000 to 10,000 time read write or whatever the three thousand to ten thousand read and write cycles, you know, within a matter of hours, you know, on some of the bigger corporations. So what they're hoping to do is, now you can start incorporating SANs and storage and servers with solid state drives and get the performance and the operations per second that you would typically get in a solid state drive that you can find either on your phone or PC or laptop if it's like a MacBook Air. So yeah, that's great. They do say that the technology is about 5 years out, but expect a big change in the enterprise world and solid state memory.
Very cool. I have one last thing. The last Twitter founder is leaving. Biz Stone left Twitter. And he, Evan Williams and Jason Goldman, who were kind of the core leadership. I mean, Jack Dorsey is still very involved, but he's also running Square. But those three who were part of the core beginning of Twitter have left slowly but surely. And they're restarting a company they had before called the Obvious Corporation, which is just an idea incubator similar to Milk Inc. For those of you who have been listening, because we've talked about them before, just to try to get some ideas. I mean, it's more of a having multiple different ideas, but just an interesting little note. We'll see what happens with them. I mean, obviously, people use Twitter and what have you. Just a reminder to anyone who does use Verizon, July 7th is the last day to get your unlimited data plan, which I would suggest if you don't want to be trapped in their tiered plans. But that's just me. I think that pretty much wraps it up. Let's see, either of you have anything else you'd like to throw in for news-wise?
Google Plus's icon for their app looks cool on my phone.
I also looked. It is not in the iOS market yet.
Ooh.
Sick burn.
There should be a clap for that.
We can do a...
Just kidding.
There you go.
All right. That was another successful installment of The Bleed Geek.
Again, we have our contest going on. Go over, make a post on our page, get people to like it. You can win some nice headphones. I mean, they sold at Best Buy for like $100 at some point recently. I think they have a second generation on now. But
have you used them before?
I've used them. They sound awesome, especially for earbuds. They're Bose. So,
what's not to like?
Right. We have an email, Pat. What's that? Where people can
fans at bleedgeek.com if you're questioning it, Mike.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So, yeah. So write us if you have any tech concerns, tech topics, something you just want to shout out, something you just need to vent.
Problems you have. I mean,
it could be social, it could be technical, it could be
personal. Anything, really. Yeah. We're not licensed therapists, but we will
tell you our opinion regardless.
We can be the guy in the bar for you.
Yeah. The bartender.
The bartender, actually.
Yes.
And of course, we have a phone number as well if you'd like to call. If you have any of those things we just discussed and you'd like to voice your opinion, literally, it's 406-79-GEEKS. That's 406-794-3357. And if it's a reasonable length and message, we will play it on our podcast. We have a Twitter. You can follow us at BleedGeek. Pretty straightforward. Facebook/BleedGeek. Personal Twitters. Mine is Mike037.
Mine is Hammock Time, and that's with a Y instead of an I.
And I am at Crandall111.
So I think that's pretty much all. Oh, we have a newsletter. You should go to our website and sign up for that as well.
Yeah, and speaking, just website, read our, we've got some really interesting blog posts along with our email address. If you'd like to see something written up even, we're always open to suggestions for writing articles.
And leave comments if you read articles.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think.
We like comments, good or bad.
Yeah.
So.
And also contributors. We want to touch on contributors a little bit. If you want to be a contributor of Bleed Geek, if you have some, if you're like a blogger but have nowhere to blog or don't want to set up your own blog, we can take in tech articles.
Yeah, we're specifically looking for tech-related writers. We don't want your personal life. You can make your own blog for that.
We could set you in the right direction if you need help with that.
Yes.
But.
Yeah, that would be our sub company. The Solution Geeks can help you out with that. But, send us, if you are interested in writing for us, send us an email at info@bleedgeek.com.
So, yeah.
Sound good?
I think that's all.
All right.
Again, visit our site.
Yeah, I think that's it for this edition of Bleed Geek. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Michael Earl.
And I'm Patrick McGivern.
And don't follow Justin Timberlake's investment options.
He is not bringing sexy back to MySpace.
No, there's no sexy in MySpace.